It's good to have you aboard for Agriculture Today on this Monday. And kicking things off, we take a look at the cattle market trends from last week, and the market did backtrack some from the previous week. We'll glance at it all now with Glenn Tonzer, livestock economist, K-State Research and Extension. And it's this back and forth, Glenn. We've had positive weeks followed then by drawbacks in the market, so the volatility continues.
Yeah, it does, but I think part of that is, you know, we are moving a fair amount on prices, but let's keep in mind we're not moving a lot of feeders this time of year, so the actual transactions being impacted by that price are a lot lower than normal. And the other part of that would be is there's a lot more signals coming from the cutout values that are being signaled through, particularly fed cattle that will break down today. I think we're looking for a two-week calm on the trade discussions. We now have some details on when and, you know, what type of beef's going to go to China. We didn't have that 3 weeks ago. So I think we are gaining some clarity on some things. So it's not just unguided volatility. We just have ongoing new pieces of information that are shaping these markets. But let's walk through the actual numbers.
Sure.
Cash trade, fed cattle, five market averages, just over 130 for the week on Friday. That's down about $6 for the week. When you compare that with the board, the nearby June live cattle contract actually closed the week at 121.70, down about $10 for the week. So it's a sizable pullback. I'll break down here in a moment. The cash feeder cattle trade, as I noted earlier, it was fairly limited volume, which is kind of normal, particularly given the volumes we've pushed through the market the last, you know, whatever, 4 to 6 weeks. And on balance, AMS called the reports $5 to $10 lower, depending on what part of the country we're talking about. One specific, you know, example here in Dodge City, one very low volume lot that was actually reported 60 head, 800 pounders, traded at 145 and change. Going back to the board, the August feeder cattle contract was just under 148 for the week, down about $6 for the week. So I'm going to break down the choice select spread and the cutout values. But before I do that, I just want to highlight we've had a pullback on basically cutout values overall, and the fed cattle reacted the most to it. Feeder cattle reacted, but not as much. But maybe they would have reacted more had we pushed more cattle through the auction markets. We just didn't test that market quite as much. So choice cutout was down a couple bucks. We broke below 250, so 249.84 was Friday's choice cutout. Select cutout was just under 220. That puts the choice select spread at $30. It was 30, almost 31 the week before. But I will highlight that's a very wide choice select spread. It's very common that from roughly end of February, early March, we increase the choice select spread until about this time of year, sometimes all the way up to the 4th of July, but usually sometime in June is when that spread peaks. We're right on track for that. Last year, we peaked this week, so maybe this is going to be the peak in that cycle. But what I think is almost more informative than just the fact that we have a very strong choice select spread, which on balance is good because that's a quality signal, a demand signal for quality, if you like. I think breaking that down by primals briefly is very important. So most will know we've got rib, chuck, round, loin, brisket, plate, and flank information that goes into that composite cutout. And what I want to call our attention to is trends versus last week and, more importantly, last year on those primals. And I'm just going to pull out two of them to make my point here, is the total cutout is up 13% compared to a year ago. That's a big reason prices are a lot higher than we were anticipating 4 months ago. We should all remember that. But that's being driven by several primals, but I'm going to call out the rib. So rib cutout is up 19% compared to a year ago. All the other primals are up at least 17%, except for the loin. Loin is down 2%. So it stands out like a sore thumb on why loin demand, and particularly the choice select spread on loin, has not, quote unquote, kept up with the other primals. And I don't have a magic solution for that. I would just highlight that is an unanswered question that needs to be answered at some point, because if loin had been keeping up, we'd have even stronger cutout values and therefore higher fed cattle values. I'm not exactly sure why that's occurring. It is on my, you know, tough figure out list here. But I will highlight that is a drag, if you like, in the broader demand context. That is being offset some by the strength on the rib side and so forth. So I want to give credit to the rib and the other primals that go into this. But the loin is a bit of a drag that I'm basically putting this out for. You know, if anybody has bright ideas they'd like me to investigate or whatever, they're welcome to send it to me. But most people know we send beef products to different parts around the country. We break the carcass apart different ways. Parts of these primals are impacted by trade more than others. There's a whole host of things that are embedded in that. But I think it's important that we understand the very wide choice select spread on balance is good, but it's being driven by parts of the carcass, not all of the carcass, is what I want to drive across.
But the total story here is that this is a very much needed underpinning for the market.
Yes, yeah. Well, most people recognize we get a daily update on this is wholesale beef information we're sharing. That is the closest we get to retail information. There's a lot of parts of this data that's better than the retail level data in terms of the data quality. So we look at this for lots of reasons. pounds. But one of the unique aspects of it is it breaks down the value of the carcass. When I give you a five market fed cattle price, it's the value of the whole animal or some level, the whole carcass, not the pieces. And understanding the value of all those parts is essential to understand what's going on. And that's what I'm trying to allude to here.
Well, every time you're good enough to come by our microphones, Glenn, you bring with you the latest projected returns to finishing out cattle. And as of right now, those are healthy.
Yes.
But we'll turn the corner at some point.
Yes, I come with both good and bad news, as, of course, all good academic economists do. They talk with both hands here. So the estimates I have, and they are on agmanager.info for those that want all the details, but the April closeouts we peg at $331 per steer, and that was actually the record in terms of dollars per head per steer that we have in the series that goes back to, I believe, 1992. I will highlight real quickly, that follows less than 18 months after the record loss in December of 2015. So use the term volatile markets earlier. There's a lot of reasons these returns kind of whipsaw, but I will point out we've went from record losses to record highs in less than a year and a half. Mm-hmm. That just begs for the need for risk management, talking to your lender regularly and those kind of things. The May closeouts I'm currently projecting at just over $400 per steer. And I'll remind our listeners, I'm still projecting a May number because I have all the price information, but the production data has a one-month lag. So potentially the weights are going to come in different or death loss different than I'm assuming. But on balance, if that occurs, that would break that record and that would be the new record. The reason for those records are, and this is what's good for cow-calf, good for feedlot in this story, was we had a lot of cheaper feeders, right, the end of 2016 that were purchased that are coming out as closeouts here in April, May that we're talking about now. And we've had this positive demand story, which we just got done talking about on the cutout side that pulled up fed cattle prices. And we've had positive just general trade discussions over that time. So somebody that placed feeders and was open to the market, you know, 6-9 months ago has been rewarded quite well because they got, quote unquote, in hindsight, cheap feeders and rode up the market on fed cattle prices.
If only that could last.
And if they were fully exposed to the market.
Yeah.
Had they put in price, you know, protection, they would not have benefited from all of these uprises. So these are elevated and kind of exaggerated cash to cash to cash return series, as I'm always trying to be clear about. Mm-hmm. But that's important as we flip the story to what might become losses. So when we look out to the projections for the end of this year, and actually early into 2018, I'm now projecting losses of $30 to, you know, sometimes almost $100 per head, closeouts between October and then February of 2018. The reason for that is taking about $20 off the expected fed cattle price, and we've added at least $15 per hundredweight on feeders, and cost of feed has went up some. All three of those work against that margin pretty quickly and tightly, but that's why I want to be very clear on somebody that's protected themselves against some of those changes probably won't experience that negative of a loss. That same person would not have benefited from the reasons that I said, a $300, maybe a $400 return in recent months. So it's hard to have your cake and eat it too, is my point there. The way this series works is I'm presuming no risk management. Therefore, the good months look really good. The bad months look really bad. For a lot of folks out there, neither extreme really fits.
It'll turn the corner this fall, unfortunately, and we will keep tracking the magnitude of those changes in the returns to feedlot cattle. You've also put together your calf price update, your projections for the fall, and this gets into this question, which starts to rise here soon for producers, whether or not to retain ownership of those spring-born calves as we get later into the year.
Yes, and I'm just basically begging people to start that thinking earlier is the reason I bring this up. It's never too early to start thinking about that, but it's just numbers to get that thought process going. October 11th, Salina market, current projections for a 5.5 weight calf is 156. For context, if you have $800 cost to run a cow per year, that would peg your 2017 returns as about $50 return per cow. I highlight that because that is a better than normal year, but much worse than like 2014, 2015. But that might be positive enough that we sustain herd expansion. It's no longer a big negative. And that's the benefit of a sizable market rally that's occurred since New Year's. That is the reason I highlight that. To the point on decisions to make after that, A, you've got the do I expand or not, which I alluded to there. And we have tools on Ag Manager for that. But you also have, should I sell my calf now or not? So particularly the steers, obviously, but even the heifers you're not going to retain. You can choose when to sell them. And maybe you want to retain them, put, say, 200 pounds on. So I ran another quick, you know, just margin calculation. You can use beefbasis.com to do this. And say you want to sell maybe January 10th or sometime early in January, a 7.5 weight. So you would put 200 pounds on in this story. That amounts to about 2.2 pounds of gain per day for context. Currently, we'd be projecting about $135 sell price for a 7.5 weight steer there in the middle of January. That would give us a value of gain that's projected of about $78 per hundredweight. So if your cost of doing it are, say, 60 or 65, and you're comfortable with the upside and downside risk potential, then that might be something you want to entertain. I mainly highlight that, again, to get people thinking about this whole process, and again, to highlight a tool on Ag Manager, K-State Feeder Cattle Risk Management Tool. It's an Excel-based tool that is basically built to help understand these different price outcomes.
So take advantage of those tools and to be pondering that decision and to have an idea of where you might want to go, but to keep track of that. Likewise, as we move on through this summer. Glenn, we always appreciate your comments on the markets, and we'll have you back again soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Glenn Tonzer is a livestock economist with K-State Research and Extension. Those observations on the cattle markets and related topics on agriculture today. We'll be back shortly on the K-State Radio Network.